This is Sunday morning, 8:24:25. This is a teaching, the Faith Hall of Famers. This is part 10, and the subject is God's vessels. This morning, the Lord began to speak to me as I was getting ready, and recently the fire has gotten hotter, so much so that I felt like I couldn't do it. And the Lord said to me, do you think Paul shook the viper off when he first got into the walk? No. He had years and years and years and years to get to that place to learn to not be moved. And the Lord said, I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to make it so difficult you can't move. My grace will be sufficient for you for whatever you need. So take heart in that, because this is part of His training as His vessels that you just sang about. So I said, okay, duly noted, Lord. Because it's difficult to walk through places when you don't know what's going on and you don't have a clue. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, which the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me quite frequently during this process, and part of what I bring this morning is going to be some of what the Holy Spirit shared with me, just simple practical things about the walk. So, anyway, that's why we have two teachings today. We're not doing a prophet's corner. Hebrews 11. We're going to read Hebrews 11 because these are the ones that are recorded in the Old Testament Faith Hall of Famers. I wish somebody had written a sequel and written down all the stuff about the Faith Hall of Famers in the New Testament. But then it would fill the world, wouldn't it? Right. We are walking. We are the second edition of the Faith Hall of Famers. Okay. Starts out with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understood. Not a bad report, even though it may look that way at times. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So we know how God did it. We're going to look at that in the second teaching. So that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. So He did it by faith. He didn't do it by building materials and architects and blueprints and like the works of men. No. He did it by the Spirit. Creation ability that He put in us as believers. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Just think about that. He pleased God so much, God just took him. Said, I can't stand it no more. I need you up here with me. Not a bad way to go, right? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He rewards the ones that walk by faith, not those that walk by works. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after re- sea for an inheritance obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. How'd they become Faith Hall of Famers? Well, they exercised their faith, but they obeyed. They heard God. They obeyed God. That's, to me, the first step of faith. Hear God, obey God. That's how He created. That's how we create. That's how we do anything. And that's what all the training is about, is to get you to the place when God speaks, you listen and you obey. And no matter your circumstances, it doesn't keep you from it. All of these patriarchs here had obstacles. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, not the promised land, but the city of God, whose builder and maker is God. It went beyond this earthly realm. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you know today that all things are possible with God? And all things are possible to him who believes? Medical science can't even touch this one. And all their great expertise, they can't even touch this one. Not even, really, I've heard of one case of a 65-year-old having a baby. But I'm telling you, with God, a 90-year-old woman had a baby. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, out of a childless man. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I hear people say this, Christians, oh, this isn't our home. We're just pilgrims. Well, they need to take that in context, what Abraham was talking about. Jesus hadn't come yet. The earth is our home. This is the place of our domain. This is the place where we exercise faith. Where did God exercise faith? On the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. God country. That's the kingdom of God. Heaven and the earth. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their brethren, for he hath prepared for them a city that's coming down out of heaven. New Jerusalem. We are the New Jerusalem. We're that city. We're lively stones built up a spiritual house. I know that blows people's minds, because they think so much, oh, it's just all up there, and it's just all God does everything. We're just victims down here, and we just try to just wander through this old horrible place until we can get to heaven. That's the wrong attitude. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know, the greatest city on earth could come down out of heaven, but if the people aren't changed, it wouldn't be heaven. See, this transformation that's going to happen is within. People talk about ascension. They hadn't touched the hem of the garment about what ascension is. To them, it's all this voodoo-sounding stuff, which they say it's not. about frequencies and vibrations and all of these things, I'm thinking, you don't have a clue. Ascension is us walking in the kingdom of God, having the right mindset. That's the ascension we need to attain to, seated with Him in heavenly places. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. I believe the 1,000-year reign is going to take 1,000 years, just simply because I think it's going to take that long to undo. To undo and redo. Tear down this system that we've been under and raise up the kingdom of God. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, see, he's looking into the future. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He's looking into the future. See, they didn't obtain. Yeah, they had some faith victories, but they didn't attain what they wanted. That city whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. See, they all went some through hard things here. That's another thing that the Lord said to me this morning. At first, when the fire gets turned up, and if you feel like you're challenged beyond your ability, You acclimate. And then what seemed insufferable in the beginning begins to be doable. God's grace. That's what the training is about. That's what even these in the Faith Hall of Fame went through, all of these things. And they went through some hard things to attain their place in this Hall of Fame. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians were saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now she's a rare one here. She was a harlot. We're talking a prostitute. And she's the grandmother of Jesus. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and other prophets. I encourage whoever's listening to this, go read these stories about these people. It's not just a story. It's a book of the adventures of faith. Who through faith subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Why do Christians today think they shouldn't have to go through anything? They think that God just needs to, you just snap your finger and do your little prayer and you're supposed to get it, and they get all bent out of shape when they don't get it like they think they ought to get it. They haven't read the Bible. They haven't looked into it and seen it for the reality that it is. We're so used to microwave this and instant that, that the people of God don't think they have to persevere or go through anything to get anything today. That's why there's no growth. There's no maturity. Because that is an absolute ridiculous way of thinking for a Christian. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Think about the three Hebrew children in that fire. You think they weren't scared out of their mind? Daniel in that lion's den? He probably thought, Lord, I think you've gone too far this time. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I was just telling someone yesterday, trying to get them to understand. I said, I'm not speaking against the church. I'm not speaking against anything like that. But I'm saying this, when you have a call, you have to be separated unto that call. You're called from your mother's womb, but you're not separated until you pass the test. And I said, the way you do that is you have to renew your mind and find out what God's will is. And then He begins to train you towards that separation. That's what I mean. Christians, they live their whole life not knowing what God wants them to do. God has something for all of us to do. But we have to look to Him to do it. It's not just going to church and having your sweet little programs. Or it's not doing anything for anyone. It's just not. And I told her, I said, we had to come out. And I said, if we had not come out, we would not have seen this, because I said, the church does not teach this. You know, we need to quit. I mean, I don't want to go about offending people and hurt people's feelings, but it's time people begin to hear the truth about some things. And if they get on board, fine. But don't you come up to me or get on to me if you don't do it and you end up in a place you didn't want to be. You know? Because I'm about helping you get on track with God's will and do His will so you can be better, not worse. You may think at first you're worse and you can't, yeah, this is so hard, it's so horrible. If you'll stick with it, you won't be a John Mark, you'll stick with it. God will bring you through with victory, just like the Faith Hall of Fame. There was no failure here. None. God has a good track record if you stick with the plan. A lot of people just bail out. Okay. We can see through the gospel all the works that Jesus did when He was here. Healing, raising the dead, casting out devils, multiplied food, walked on water. Was that just for Jesus to do? No. We know that His disciples did that also, but they were apostles. Is it just for the apostles to do? No. John 14:12. We need to quit, get away from this mindset that only the ministry and are the only ones that does anything in the church. No. We're a body. Not just a head. A body. This is 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because of going to my Father. He didn't say just the apostles. He said, those that believe on me. He also says over there, Mark, I have this probably referenced later, But it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Casting out devils, healing the sick. Where do we miss the part that just the leaders do it? No, no. The leaders teach it. The disciples do it. That's how Jesus did it. Okay. Church people would say, oh no, only Jesus could do that because he was the perfect Son of God. He couldn't sin. They put Jesus in a category that Jesus didn't even put himself in. He said, you would do the greater works. But most people, no. You're being sacrilegious if you put yourself in Jesus' place. As he is, so are we in this world. If you look at the scripture, he considers us brethren. Okay, let's keep going here. Genesis 1. And God said, 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Is that what God did? He took dominion over the earth? Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed him, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. No, I get all my answers from the prayer chain. We come up, this was the charismatic movement. And all the prayer chains sprung up. Everybody just went to church and did their little flotty thing. And if we had a prayer request, we'd call the prayer chain. We were very flotty. We were not mighty. We didn't have a clue about anything. I guess that came off of the hippie thing. And here come in, it swept into the church. Genesis 2, let's see, start with 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And the name of the first is Pison, that it is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There's bedlam and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, and the same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river, Sedekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that ye shall eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So He gave me one stipulation. I'm giving you all of this, but don't touch the tree, the one tree. Okay. Perfect, sinless, made in the image and likeness of God to operate just like God. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? He comes to steal the word. He's been stealing it from the very beginning. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, if you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, how can... Anyway, we won't go there today. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? This is what I see in the body of Christ. Everybody's afraid of God. They think they got to go through this one or that one to get answers. Like they don't have a personal relationship themselves with God. They don't know how to get answers from God. The first Adam blew it. He blew it. When Jesus came, he was perfect, sinless, made in the image and likeness of God. And he was also tempted. Now we know about his temptation. That's John chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Jesus was tempted of the devil. But he was a sinless son of God. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't sin. I can't be like him because he didn't sin. He couldn't sin because he was perfect. When you're born again, you're perfect. Can you sin? Absolutely. Could Jesus have sinned? Absolutely. Did the first Adam sin? Absolutely. So the second Adam did too. Could too. He could have too. Right here, 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus restored us back to that pre-fall state right here, 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So we're spirit people. When we're born again, the born-again spirit man is in the inside of us. The real us is inside of us. Jesus was called the Son of Man. He came. That's what he came for. All right, let's keep going here. But to do the works of Jesus, there's a price to pay. You have to be able to be proven that you are a worthy vessel for God, that you will not fail him. Those he loves, he proves. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures here. This is Hebrews chapter 5. Starting with verse 1 there, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, but that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Obedience here means attentive hearkening, compliance, or submission. Suffered here means to experience a sensation or impression, usually painful, to vex. Why must we suffer? Our flesh wants to go its own way, as we saw with the first Adam. It has to be brought under submission to the Spirit. I know all of us, I know most of our Christian life, we've worked it in the flesh and thought we were doing it right. Now we know. As we read in the Faith Hall of Fame, they all had to go through times of suffering and hardship, but they won because they refused to let their flesh win. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Paul said it all in Romans chapter 8. You talk about a revelation. Paul went through a lot of hard things to get these revelations. They didn't just fall on him. Starting with verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I was trying to tell this person I was talking to yesterday. I said, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Bible schools, but I said, if God hasn't called you to go to that Bible school, then you're in the flesh. Because a lot of Christians think, well, Bible schools are all holy. They're good, you know. And this particular person that we were talking about had been to Bible school. I think a lot of Bible schools is where a lot of people get messed up. But I said, if God says go there, you go there. If he doesn't say go there, you don't go there. That walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Going to be a lot of religious folks on that day when the Lord says, I don't know you. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What's following the Spirit? Whatever God says to you, do it. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You're working against God if you're doing the works of the flesh. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. All the works of flesh and all the institutions and all the religious things going on in this city today that God has not ordained, they might as well be going to the ball game or to the circus. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot. It's not possible. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if God, children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, and that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The flesh has to suffer. The flesh has to come under. The spirit has to gain momentum and strength. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what the suffering is. We're being born as the sons of God. Putting off this old flesh and its ways. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is where the Holy Spirit kicks in to help us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's what the Lord was saying to me this morning. He says, all my plans for you are for good. All my plans for you are not for failure, but for victory. Every expectation I have for you is good continually. We have to get on board with that and quit thinking we're not going to make it, or it's not going to... That's not what he says. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. When we get on board with him, it's only victory. There is no failure. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's God's purpose for us, is for victory, to overcome, not to be beat down and cast down, depressed. Jesus had to go through this process to follow the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. If he had to, then you know we have to. It's a must. This old man gets people in trouble. It did the first Adam. Caused all creation to fail. Except for a few. We read about them in Faith Hall of Fame. Okay, let's keep going here. 1 Peter 2. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Keep going here. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God, God's vessel. See, even Jesus had to be disciplined. I want to show you. I've read this before, but I'm going to read it again today. Bear with me. This is Luke 2:40. Talking about, well, Jesus, he was the sinless Son of God. He can do anything. And, you know, we can't be like him. Starting with verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. God chose his parents for a reason, to train him in the ways of God, not in the ways of the law, even though he knew the law. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus had to be disciplined. He had to be chastened. He had to be molded into what God had for him when he came on the scene. Hebrews 12. Obedience comes because of discipline. Nobody likes it. I don't wake up saying, hit me again. You know, I'm not going to, I don't like it any more than anybody else. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. It's okay to not like it. Jesus despised it. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Quit saying, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? This is the chastening. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? You know how it is when you go into a store and somebody's got a bratty kid that's loud. He's running around tearing stuff up and being obnoxious, and you just want to slap him. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had our fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto their father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. In other words, they want quiet in the house. Stop that fighting. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And the Lord spoke to us, put off them sackcloth and ashes right here. This is what he's saying. Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. When we understand this, it may not make it any easier, but at least you understand what's going on. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just going through the training process. Chastened of the Lord. Chastening here means tutorage, education or training, or disciplinary correction. Here is a picture for this process, at least in my experience has been. I have one for you. It's called Between a Rock and a Hard Place. With all that we've gone through, what will you do if Jesus instructs you to go raise somebody from the dead? Will you do it? I'd say most Christians know. I remember one time a lady asked me to pray for this widow lady. She was struggling with her finances. I went to the Lord and I prayed about it. The Lord said, give that lady that asked you to pray the book, Obedience and Finances. I did. This lady said, I can't give her that. So I mailed it to her myself. If we can't even give somebody just a little book, how are we ever going to raise somebody from the dead? Well, I can't do that. I hurt their feelings. Well, you want her to starve to death and go broke? Well, I don't want to hurt her feelings. I tell you what, I'd rather be the one that's considered the mean or the bad guy, whatever you want to call it. Harsh, maybe. I'd rather be that than to be a wishy-washy, namby-pamby Christian that could not find their rear end in the morning. I'm telling you. I know the discipline and chastening is hard, but it's going to be worth it all. In the end. Okay, let's keep going here. Will you draw back if God requires you to do something that goes beyond you? That's what the chastening's about. Jesus was chastened because look where he was headed. This is Hebrews 10. 38 and 39 here. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's what I'm talking about. Are we willing? I know sometimes in your mind you've got to get it settled. But that's what the Lord's been dealing with me about. He's not really so much looking for you to do physical things to prove you're this or that, but mentally. Are you drawing back in your mind? Because see, there's where what your mind does, your body will follow. You understand what I'm saying here? It's very important that your mindset be right. You've got to get things settled in your mind. I was talking about on the program this morning about the time that we had a certain situation with our oldest granddaughter. And anyway, I remember going to the Lord and praying for 3 weeks because I just could not get on board with the course our daughter was going to take. And it was so grievous to me. But for 3 weeks, I prayed. And then one morning, the Lord said to me, "Do this." And I did, and within 24 hours, the situation changed. See, that's what I'm talking about. I just knew I could not go the path that she wanted. And so I just prayed in the Spirit and prayed in the Spirit and prayed in the Spirit. And then that word came, and it changed. It moved a mountain. That's how you do it. All right. Are you willing to do what the Lord is asking of you? I guess it goes with each individual thing that comes. You just got to be praying about it in the Spirit. All right, Jesus said we do the works that He did. Let's look at that. John chapter 10. We have to follow His voice in everything we do. Verily, verily, verse 1, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other, I'm not going to go there. Okay, stop there. We have to follow his voice. This isn't just a religious thing that we do, just to get by to appease guilt for the week. Are you willing as his vessel to hear his voice and do what he requires of you to do? If the answer is yes, you'll be proven. A couple more scriptures and we'll be done. 2 Timothy 2. Paul's exhorting Timothy here. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except ye strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say in the Lord. Give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who considering the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We need to get over the silliness that we're doing something wrong. The old religious crap that we've lived under all our life. And just get real and realize what is really going on here. We sit in a very great place. One more scripture, Luke 8. A couple more. No man, verse 16, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. I'm coming to the place that these little digs that we get, especially me, because a person doesn't understand. I'm getting to the place that I'm ready to say, stop it. Because this is bigger than they can even comprehend at this point. What we're doing is for God. And if they don't come on board, just like Jesus, he said, who are my mother, brother, and sister? They that hear the word of God and do it. If that's the way it has to be, then that's the way it has to be. Amen.